welcome to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Emma Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nichol.
And today on the show, we're once again joined by property investor Ilse Wolf from Opus Accelerate. And in today's show, we're going to go through a case study of a renovation that a real life investor, I think in Auckland, has done in this case. And I'm excited. I always love these sorts of episodes because every renovation is different. And in fact, every investment is different as well. And so going through case studies like this helps us wrap our heads around how investment goes, the ups and downs. And so Ilse, let's jump into this. This actually comes back from an investor situation we've previously talked about on the show. Can you just remind us what that situation was before we get into the details?
Sure. So this is an investor that we've been working with for a month or two now. And last time we updated, she was in the position of having a great portfolio of five properties within the wider Auckland region. She had been accumulating these assets since 2009. So on some of them, the overall debt was relatively low, but none of them she had renovated in the past. So they were becoming quite run down, some of them. The maintenance costs were particularly high on a couple of them. And she was leaving a lot of rental return cash on the table. On top of that, she also is a keen investor. So she does want to grow her portfolio, but on her nursing salary combined with her existing rental returns, she had reached a servicing handbrake in terms of she had already reached her maximum amount of lending that banks would give her.
This is the one that you and I worked on together. One of the first ones, I think.
That's right. Yes. She was one of our first investors.
Awesome.
And so I suppose what you're trying to do here in terms of wanting to grow that portfolio, if we can get the yields up on those properties, if we could get more income flowing through, then we're likely to be able to borrow more because more of the rental income covers the mortgage costs. So I remember there were a couple of issues here. There were properties that were under rented. There were properties that needed to be renovated. Because there were five properties there, how did you identify? What was the process you went through to identify what to do first? Because I know that's where a lot of investors get stuck. There's so much to do, they don't know which one to quite do first.
That's right. So the most important element for her was to evaluate where she would get her biggest bang for buck. Having those five properties, we needed a way to rank them in order because she had limited resource. She had some cash in the bank and she also had a revolving credit that she could dig into if necessary.
How much she had? How much she had?
That is very good English, Ed.
Just, I want to know about the money.
She had about 60,000 cash and another 60 or 70,000 on revolving credit. The challenge we had was to work out where to spend her cash and where to chip into that revolving credit to best improve. Fortunately and wisely by her, she had already spoken with her mortgage broker and she had found out already that by increasing her income position by around $1,000 gross per week, she would be in a position to then be able to look at pursuing another property purchase. So that became her goal and that became our challenge for her cash flow hacking review.
Which is huge. So $52,000 a year is a big increase. How'd you get on with that?
Yeah, well, we have the solution, which is why I'm really excited to update the listeners, because this is absolutely something that can be achieved. If you have an existing portfolio, you may be leaving money on the table similarly as this investor was. So it's really good to go through the numbers. And that's exactly what we did. We had our master spreadsheet. We looked at the five properties, how they were performing. We compared the current rents according to the market rents, and they have grown considerably in Auckland in the last 12 months, as we all know. There is natural upside that she can garner from a renovation by adding at least a bedroom, going through those cash flow hacking principles. So what we actually did was we then visited her five properties so that I could become familiar with them and the condition and really see with our eyes together. It was also a great way to educate her as the first part of her mentorship and the program with us.
So what do you actually do?
One thing that we needed to consider also was that at the moment with healthy home audits, and if a tenant needed to change by undergoing those renovations, that there would be some extra, maybe $5,000 or $10,000 of investment that needs to be spent in accordance with upgrading properties to the new healthy home standards. So that's something for everyone to note if they are going to look at changing tenancy. All those upgrades need to be done within 90 days of that new tenancy following. I think on the last episode when we spoke, I talked about it being quite obvious that we would start with this recent purchase she had made, which was under the post 27th of March with the new regulations in tow.
Oh, she bought one after the date, so no interest deductibility from day one.
Correct, yes. So she had four that were prior, and then when I met with her, she had just settled on the fifth one, so under the new tax legislation. Ooh. And so this one we needed to renovate first of all because the tenants had given notice I think on the last episode, we said that it was really a slam dunk that we would go into the home and income following that so that we had a clear first project and second project. But what we uncovered by going to site and evaluating the opportunity and how we would go about adding the bedroom at minimum on each of the sites is that we found that by visiting the other three, we could find ways to more cheaply add a fourth bedroom and provide an instant uplift of between $150 to $200 per week rental increase across each of those three. And in the end, our game plan completely changed from tackling the home and income second to adding a bedroom to each of the other three. And at the end of the day, that meant that the increase in rent across those three would be somewhere between $450 to $600 a week, rather than simply $350 a week on that home and income alone, which meant that by splitting $60,000 of renovation investment across the three, instead of concentrating those on the home and income, we were able to get 70% more uplift in the total rent across wow. those three properties.
So what do you actually do to them? I'm just a bit confused.
So in summary, what we did on this first property that this investor had just settled on was we could naturally add a fourth bedroom by erecting a superficial wall and closing off what was the dining room and rotating the entrance to the kitchen 90 degrees around onto the other wall facing into the lounge. So there would be a direct link between the kitchen and the lounge, Great. Which actually enhanced the living space to be more like a modern house.
Yes.
That fourth bedroom naturally fit into a place where the hallway then ran towards the other bedroom. So it felt like quite a natural fit. The renovation only took 3 or 4 days to get that plastered and ready for paint.
Great.
It was 3 or 4 days?
Conversion. Yeah.
What's it cost to put up a superficial wall like that?
So a new wall that would be superficial for the labour of the builder, the materials, the jib stopping, plaster and paint would be around about $5,000 in total, including a pre-hung door with a doorknob or door hardware.
So that's going to pay itself off in half a year.
And what did you say? So they spent $5,000, built this superficial wall, and what was the rental uplift? About $200 a week?
$150
to
$200. Yeah, so unfortunately compounded onto the renovation scope was the fact that we uncovered some water issues, and this is a really important message for everyone listening. When this investor purchased the property, she took a verbal inspection from the builder, so a verbal building inspection, rather than the written report to save a few hundred dollars at the time. When we started scoping the renovation on our very first visit with the property manager once the tenants vacated, we found sodden carpet through the hallway, which then led us back towards tiles that were cracked and lifting in and around a shower and a laundry tub. And it turned out that the vendor had concealed previous water tightness issues and had overlaid carpet and tiles over a rotten plywood floor. And so when you walk down the hallway, depending where you stood, you would fall between the floorboards but be caught by the carpet. So hence insurance claim, the total renovation pushed out to a 4-week renovation, which is still incredibly fast. And under the floor, we actually found also illegal plumbing for a second toilet. So we took advantage of that. We are now applying for a certificate of acceptance by legalizing that second toilet. And it just so happens that the peculiar configuration of a separate shower and toilet with the laundry and then a bathroom with now a certificate of acceptance on that second toilet means that this house has gone from a 3-bed, 1-bath to a 4-bed, 2-bath in wow. 4 weeks flat.
Wow.
And even with a total investment, including healthy home upgrade of $40,000, the rental uplift is $12,000, which is 40% return.
Great.
If you ignore the healthy home standards, just purely look at the renovation cost, or 29% on a total return on that $40,000.
Still amazing.
And that's before insurance will refund her up to $10,000 for the water damage, which is great.
And walk us through just briefly there, Ilse, as well, what a certificate of acceptance is for listeners of the show who may not be aware of what that is.
When you apply to install, for example, this toilet, if you were to do it the correct way around, you would apply for a building consent, complete that paperwork with council, and then with that consent document, you would have that professional install the toilet, then you would have a code of compliance issued at the end. However, this property was bought and found to have an illegal second toilet. So the process is therefore in reverse. So you have someone, third party professional, in this case a plumber, come and check and then certify that the plumbing and the toilet were installed to a health and sanitary standard. And then the paperwork is done at the conclusion of that installation back to council to confirm that it can be on the council file as a legal second toilet.
It's really interesting, just that building check, getting the verbal, which I have done a few times, and you just kind of, you know, get someone through and they say, yeah, everything's fine. If that had been picked up in the negotiation, I would have gone back and negotiated a lower price. But of course, a verbal is probably less invasive, and so they probably didn't check those things.
Yes, that's right. And the inspector didn't go under the floor. But we learned from the builder who conducted the renovations that if you had bothered to go under the floor, you would have immediately seen the rotten floor that was then covered by the faux fixed flooring on top. So really disappointing. And it added a lot of cost and a lot of time for this investor.
And so I suppose one thing there is that listeners of the show, if you're going out and purchasing existing properties, it is very important that your building inspector does get under that house. Now, yes. I realise in some instances that may not always be possible.
Or it might be more of a challenge, but that's where you use the likes of Kyle Brooklyn, where he's got the robot to go under there.
I still remember that robot. That's amazing. But yeah, if there's some way to find out what's under there, that is going to give you a good understanding of the status of that property, because otherwise you're purchasing a property not really knowing the structural integrity of it, which is crucial, especially when it comes to negotiations. So that property in that instance, Ilse, that got the investor up 12K worth of rent. Now, of course, we wanted to get up to that magical 50K number so she could then go and purchase another property. So what's the process for doing that? Are we there yet, or are we still on our way?
So the uplift in rent on that property went from 675 to 900 in Randwick Park, Minico. So then we're expecting to see from the completion of those next three renovations I mentioned that are relatively easy, superficial additions of that extra internal bedroom will be 600 in total. So we have 225 from Randwick Park. We have 600 expected from the next three. And the investor, she has also decided to take on an extra nursing shift during her week. So she already will surpass that $1,000 per week to unlock another property purchase or completely replace. Now she'll be in a position to replace her existing nursing salary, which is absolutely incredible, because within a year, far less than that, within about 6 or 7 months, she will have achieved this.
And I think the really cool thing there is that if you've got, like, it sounds like your mortgage broker, I'm not sure who that was, but it sounds like they're pretty switched on to be able to say, hey, look, you want to purchase their next property. Here's what you've got to do. We've got to find an extra $1,000 worth of income per week. You can either find it from your rental properties or you're able to find it from working yourself. And it's awesome to see as well that they're taking this mixed approach. Yep, they're going to do some renovations in order to be able to get that rent up, but actually they're going to make a sacrifice of their time as well in order to be able to get their salary up and move that forward. Because of course, salary as well isn't diminished as much when you're going through a mortgage application process, whereas any additional rent might be slashed by either 35% or 25%, depending on where she purchased it in that situation. And so is she on the path to purchasing the next property in this instance then?
Well, she will either look to do that or refinance one or a couple of those properties to withdraw some of that equity. And of course, she still has the fifth property, because we're only talking about we've renovated one. There are three more we can add the bedroom to. Awesome. But it still leaves home and income in this dilapidated state with huge upsides to a new loan that she has. So she is considering whether to look at a new property in the interim or tackle the home and income and get another two incomes up. So those are her two options.
And what I like about this particular scenario is the investor is a nurse. Nurses, as we know, don't get paid anywhere near what they deserve. And so that, you know, being on a limited income, an individual person investing, and not only has built a great portfolio, but now has combated the government's changes to replace the tax that they're going to have to pay to help replace some of that income. It's off to a great start.
Fantastic. Let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. Really helps us get the message out to more people. And hey, make sure you tune in tomorrow, because we've got another great case study, renovations focused case study, to show you what is still possible in today's market. And hey, one thing that I didn't mention yesterday is that Ilse is currently offering cash flow hacking sessions. This is where she's going to take a look at your portfolio and give you ideas for how you're able to increase that rent. Now, if you'd like to sign up for one of those, and they are $250 plus GST for that hour session, email Ilse directly. That is ILSE, that's how you spell Ilse, @opuspartners.co.nz. ILSE @opuspartners.co.nz. And hey, If you're in Christchurch, remember the Deal red carpet event is on tonight. We are screening the first episode. So make sure you turn up for that. It is at the Christchurch Art Gallery. But please only show up if you do have tickets, because we can't fit any more people
Whose
in the building.
Whose fault is that, Ed?
It's fine. I've oversold it.
Oversold it completely. I've been complaining about this for a week and it's not good. But anyway, if you turn up, make sure you bring your own chair.
And if you want to watch that, remember it is going live Wednesday the 21st of July at the Deal.co. The Deal.co. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.